And now I'm here with Tiffany Sharp. She is the founder of Willow Tree Roots. How are you doing, Tiffany?
I'm really great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me today. You and I know each other a little bit, yes. But I'd like to have Sacramento get to know you as well. Give us an overview of Tiffany Sharp and what you're doing in the entrepreneurial community.
Okay, so I'm a Sacramento, Folsom, Fair Oaks area native, and I'm actually an attorney. I went to Sac State, I went to McGeorge Law School, and I started my own law practice in 2004 after being fired from 5 legal jobs in 1 year.
Ouch. Now, okay,
I'm going to dive into that.
How does somebody get fired from 5 legal jobs? What'd you do?
It's amazing how easy it actually is. For insubordination.
Yikes. I'm going to watch myself here.
I know.
Here.
It's hard to imagine. Anybody that knows me can see that happening.
Interesting.
But it's funny because my father, who at the time, I was in my 20s, at the time was doing my taxes, and I had like 5 W-2s that year. And he said, you just need to work for yourself because you're not somebody that can be told what to do.
Some people aren't built that way.
Just not built. And it's not in my, I don't even know how to do that. And so that actually was the start of my entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Is when I started my own law practice because I had to, and it was sort of, I wasn't intent on being an entrepreneur. This entrepreneur word is sort of new. I mean, I'm talking like 2004. Mm-hmm. So, we weren't using that term. We weren't throwing it around. Yeah, so I said, I'm going to do this until I get a real job.
Okay.
I'm going to do this until I get a real job and somebody else will hire me. And I haven't had a real job since.
Why? What happened? You started getting clients? You fell in love with it?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had clients.
Okay.
So all of my clients went with me. And what I discovered through this process is that by being my own boss, I could set my own rules. I could establish my own values and guidelines. I could set my own schedule. I'm not somebody that does well in like confined schedules, confined rules. I'm not an in the box sort of thinker. And that's been since I came out of the womb. So, it really was an opportunity for me to take the kind of cases that I wanted to take, run my business the way that I wanted to run it, charge the fees that I wanted to fee, which were, reduced for some clients. I did a lot of pro bono work. And it also allowed me to just close my office down and go and do some international volunteer work, which is how I started actually working with women. At that time, it was like women and children, underrepresented women and children in the business world.
Well, let's talk about your focus as an attorney in your law practice. And then I want to dive mm-hmm. into the entirety. So tell us about in your law practice, is this international piece? Is that part of your law practice?
So I'm an immigration attorney. I actually have a specialization. I have a legal specialization in international law. And my goal was I was prepared to go and work in Germany doing contract negotiations and our family was close. My brother had a child, and I didn't want to leave, so I just stayed put. But I've been working in that area since. And so that's afforded me an opportunity to really connect and have experiences with different cultures, different people, different environments, understanding that even though there's these differences, we're all really pretty connected, particularly when it comes to women.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about women around the world, you can get a group of women in a room who don't speak the same language, and they will find something they will find a way to communicate, and they'll find something in common. And it's usually children, partners, and like shoes or something. Mm-hmm. And so there's this, it really helped me see how much we're really not that different.
Okay, now are you talking about internationally? So
yes.
The women in America are not that dissimilar from the women around the world.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And in terms of business, understanding that when women, the World Bank's come out with studies, there's been a lot of studies done that when women make money, when women are the income, when they earn an income, they turn that money back into the community. So they get their children vaccinated. And this is all around the world. This is here. It doesn't matter the socioeconomic position of the women in the community. It doesn't matter what country. When women make money, we turn it back into the community. When we have that ability to regulate our own finances, we use that money to actually better our environment. So women are will use that money to improve the infrastructure. They'll use that money to make sure children get vaccinated. They'll use that money to make sure kids are getting education. They'll make sure that the environment is taken care of, and they'll make sure that everyone in their community is taken care of.
Is that different than men, or are we talking about countries that are emerging? I guess we all are sort of emerging and evolving in terms of women having more of a seat at the table.
In my experience, that is universal. Okay. And that spans borders and boundaries. That's universal. So even with our projects, and we'll talk about that, but even with our entrepreneurial incubator projects, the women that are starting businesses or that are in business, they are mostly community service, community-oriented businesses. They are businesses and enterprises and endeavors that are actually to help other people in the community, to provide services that sometimes socially aren't available, emotional support, physical support, health and well-being, financial guidance, things like that, that help the community. And I can't, I mean, on I say majority, but I can't think of one that does not benefit the community.
Is America, or Sacramento specifically, are we more evolved than other areas of the world that you are helping, or are we less, and how far do we have to go?
Well, I would say, and I see it happening, like you and I probably wouldn't have connected otherwise, but I think what I really love about Sacramento is how we're starting to really, you know, work within the community, merge different community aspects. I really love that about Sacramento. And like I said, I've been in Sacramento since I was 5. I'm 44 now. And it wasn't always like that. So what I see now is that there's more of a willingness for communities that otherwise wouldn't, you know, associate, don't even know about each other. There's more of a willingness to like step out of that comfort zone, to do business, to engage, to have conversations. And so I would say in that sense, Sacramento is actually sort of moving in the direction that I see a lot internationally, because community is a really important thing in a lot of countries and a lot of culture. And I think that as we, you know, we have access to so much technology, we have access to so many resources, it actually separates us quite a bit. We don't have to have a conversation. We don't have to actually sit down with people and talk to people. We can send them a text message. We can do all sorts of things to avoid actually interacting with people. And so that's that. I find that that's not good for business. I don't think that's good for the family structure. I don't think that's good for the community. But what I see in Sacramento is our willingness to not just get away from that and actually engage, but use those technological resources, particularly because there's so much innovation going on in Sacramento, and using those as a way to, you know, engage different aspects of the community.
Well, you talk about, you know, getting the conversation started and the sort of the evolution, and I'm kind of just wondering where we stack up, I'd say, across America and internationally. Are we further along than, I know we're further along than maybe a third world country, but are we, what about compared to the other industrialized nations? Are we further along, or are we, how bad are,
I am biased.
Okay.
I love Sacramento.
Okay.
And, you know, I have the opportunity to travel all over the world, and this is my favorite place to be. Costa Rica is a close second.
You travel to some pretty cool places.
Yeah, but this is my favorite place to be. So it's not so much that we have a ways to go or that we're more advanced. It's really where our heart is, even if we are not where we should be in terms of engagement. We're trying. Mm-hmm. There's this constant desire to try and engage, and this openness. So it's sort of like, you know, the small town feel of where people know people. It's really like 2 or 3 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. I would say Sacramento is probably even less than that.
Okay.
Very
so maybe
small.
That's an advantage
I
in
think
some
it's an
ways.
Advantage.
Maybe
I think
we
it's
can
an
get
advantage.
Things going faster. You're working on some of those things right here in Sacramento. I was a part of the incubator.
Yes.
pitch contest
that,
that you
so
put
much
on the other
fun.
Day. I had a blast. Yeah. Walk us through what that's okay. about as well.
So that's actually really correct what you first said, is that it actually makes it easier to do things and engage and makes things go faster, because I started the Entrepreneurial Incubator like a year ago. And it was like a ragtag. I didn't know what I was doing, which is, you know, whoever knows what they're mm-hmm. doing. And the community support that came in and assisted, to me, it was really indicative of what Sacramento is. And so what we're doing, we have an entrepreneurial incubator for women of color. And for me, it was really a social responsibility to give back to my own community that allowed me to have a lifestyle that I want, that I can raise my child the way I want. I can, you know, it really afforded me a lot of privilege and opportunity being an entrepreneur and being a woman of color, understanding what sort of difficulties or hurdles socially, mentally, psychologically come with that. And so I started the Entrepreneurial Incubator just to really get a group of women together in a room that have similar experiences and talk about how do you be successful in business, in a professional environment, as a woman of color. Become, you know, staying true to your authenticity while engaging successfully in business and through cross-cultural bounds, cross-community bounds. And so that's what, we started these sessions every other Saturday for a few hours in the morning. And we'd come in and we'd have leaders in the community come in and teach various aspects of entrepreneurship and various aspects of business. And what that does is it allows the women to get the information in a safe, like, you know, what they was considered a safe environment. Mm-hmm. We can talk about things.
Talk about anything.
We can talk about anything, and trust me, we do. We can talk about things as women of color. I don't know if you've ever been in a room full of women. It can get real. Uh-huh. And so we can share these experiences, take in this information from leaders in the community in a safe environment. And then it also allows leaders in the community to see what sort of business enterprises women of color are engaging in.
What are the hurdles, if you don't mind getting into it with us a little bit, I'll try to be as specific as I can. Mm-hmm. What hurdles are different for women of color?
Yeah.
Here in Sacramento, I mean, that was our focus, and that night, and where I was participating in your pitch contest, describe the hurdles that they go through that maybe would be different than what most of us might understand.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep it real. Yeah. You know, being like, I have locks, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been in the business environment since I was in college. Just being able, like, how you wear your hair a certain way has an impact on how you're perceived in the workplace environment. Being able to enter into a space authentically and professionally. So for example, I'm an attorney, I'm in federal court. It's very, it's fairly conservative. I have my hair like this. I'm actually, you can't see, but I'm covered in tattoos. Mm-hmm. And so understanding how do you approach that from, you know, authentically as yourself, not having to wear your hair a certain way, not having to dress a certain way, dressing professionally, but still within your comfort and who authentically as yourself. And then just even, you know, some of the microaggressions that come with being the only person in that space, mm-hmm. and having to emotionally navigate that.
Well, maybe I can, you know, I'm going to touch base on how I felt when mm-hmm. I walked into your pitch contest. So it was in the Midtown area, and so I walked in, and I think I was one of a few white
colorful.
People. Yeah, yeah, very colorful, which is like, so I live in Loomis, California, yeah. probably the whitest community yeah. in the state, I have no idea. But I walked in, and, I definitely felt, different. Yeah. I can imagine how a woman of color right. might feel walking into, you know, a bank yeah. or, even in here, the Haney Biz. We don't have, we're not as mm-hmm. ethnically mm-hmm. diverse as, you know, we would like to be. But thinking about the way I felt, I went in there with my wife, and I felt the warmest feeling yeah. in the world. It was, I didn't know what I was going to be walking into. I judge pitch contests all the time. It's a day at the office. But when I left there with my wife, when we were walking to the car, I said to her, you know, I felt like I was in church tonight. I felt
like
I was coming out
yeah.
of church. I walked into a community that loved one another, mm-hmm. They embraced me regardless of, even though that I'm quite a bit different in many ways. You know, I was one of the only guys, first of all. And I was, I'm white, a light-haired guy. And it's like, you know, I felt embraced. I felt like I was at church
we
with
had a good
you all.
Time.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was really
but that's what it's
touching.
Like. Yeah, that's what it's like. And it's interesting because, you know, when we have our presenters come in and teach the topics, we have them all across the board. So we have community members that are of color in business. And we have them who are not of color. Mm-hmm. And it may be the first time that they've actually, and they've told me candidly, like, this is the first time I've been in a room full of women of color. Mm. You know, and that's an honest, like, it's an honest conversation. And I think that is healthy to have those sorts of conversations. I mean, if you don't dive into it, you're never going to know, right? Like,
yeah.
If you don't jump in the pool, you're not going to know how amazing it is. So so I think that's what it's about. I mean, I think that we, there are issues that we need to work on as a community so that we can be more united. But I really think that, like, once you sit down together, there's more that you're going to find in common,
yeah.
Right? Like, there's really, when it comes down to it, it's really easy to, and this is sort of, again, where we're so separated via technology. You know, you can get on Facebook and have debates and conversations. You can gain friends and lose friends and not even actually meet them, mm-hmm. Right? Without actually having these real conversations. But when you go and you sit down and you're in this space, like really in the real world, in this space, having these conversations, it's amazing and it's fun. We had so much fun that night, just with, and it was a wide range of people, and that's the Sacramento I know,
mm-hmm.
Because for me, I've sort of straddled different, you know, being an attorney, being of color, working in the corporate world, you know, sort of, I've growing up in this area. I mean, I know what you mean. I
yeah.
I grew up
you
in
grew
this
up
area.
In Folsom, right?
So I grew up in Folsom. Well, I grew up in Fair Oaks and moved to
okay.
Folsom. I still live in Folsom. My parents live in Folsom. And I went to high school where there was like 9 black people.
Okay.
And two were my brothers. So, and I was one
mm-hmm.
of them. So
yeah.
There was like 6 other black people that I was not related to. So, so it's interesting straddling all the different communities, but it's not, you know, it's not that it's possible, and it's possible to do it having that honest conversation, like you said. Like, I was the only white guy, and I am not from that area. But that's an honest assessment,
yeah.
And that's an honest conversation. We had a great time.
I learned a lot. I had some.
Yeah,
great
Victoria's going to come on.
I cried. I laughed. I thought, wow. I'm, you know, even at my age, I'm growing like crazy being around. Different kinds of people from me. And so thinking about that, so I had maybe somewhat of a wake-up call. I guess we go through wake-up calls in our life at different times. Was there something that prompted you to take on this leadership role with the women of color and the incubator? Was there something that happened where you said, you know what, this
yeah.
has to change?
Yes. Guilt, actually, to be really honest, guilt. I was... about a year and a half before the program actually started, I was in my really nice, you know, co-working space, and I was, I'm actually an introvert. People don't believe that, but I actually don't, like, I'm an introvert. I don't like talking to people,
yeah.
but I just like
you
doing
to
my
be
own thing.
Going for your job, but yeah, I actually am it too.
Yeah, people are surprised, mm-hmm. You know, but for me, like, I have to not be around people. So I was sitting in my little co-working space, and I had my headphones on so nobody would talk to me.
I'm not that bad.
I'm bad. I am that person. And I looked up, you know, thinking about, like, I'm here and I'm, you know, it's like 11 o'clock in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, and I'm just doing stuff. And I looked up and I looked around. Two things I looked up and I looked around. I looked up and I looked around, and I realized that there were not women that looked, very many women that looked like me there. And the second thing was that as I was there, I was working on building these projects in our other countries, realizing that I actually hadn't done anything for my own community. Like, I've spent more than 20 years in the international field without having any social engagement in Sacramento. And that hit me sort of like a ton of bricks. And I felt really guilty. Like, shame on you, because this is a community that actually allows you, this is the environment that actually allows you to do this, and to have this sort of lifestyle, and to have this nice house in Folsom, and And this flexible schedule. So it was really guilt, I'll be quite honest, that I hadn't, it just hit me like I haven't done anything for Sacramento. And so that's when I started working like, okay, what's the biggest, what, as I've gone through this process, what challenges did I have? And it was really like starting a business. How did I, you know, like I didn't do a business plan for 15 years of having my law practice. I never did a business plan. I didn't know you're supposed to do a business plan. I didn't know these sorts of things. And those are the challenges that that any entrepreneur faces.
You bet.
Yeah.
But and people from the inner city, right, they weren't as exposed to it as maybe you were in Folsom or I was. I grew up in Roseville. My dad owned a TV shop. I was exposed to
basic have a business degree also. So I have a business degree and I'm type A. So I like the sort of, you know, anal retentiveness of processes and procedures. But I also like the flexibility that can give you as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance to it. I think one of the challenges is, yes, finding resources that are available in the information, but also how that information applies to you as an individual, right? Like I'll give you a for example. When we were talking about the funding component, like how do you fund your business? What sort of community-based funding is out there? What sort of governmental funding is there in our first cohort? I couldn't find anybody to teach this aspect of it. And, you know, there is an issue with of-color businesses receiving substantially less you know, SBA loans and funding and traditional bank funding. And so when you're looking at the traditional funding resources, it doesn't address this sort of issue about not only being of color, but also being a woman. So when you're talking about, you know, being a woman of color, we usually get lumped into two categories. We get lumped into the of color community, which we sort of get the trickle down benefits of being in that. And then we get lumped into the general women business category. And also that gets the trickle down. So there's nothing that specifically says, okay, you are a woman of color business. And when you're talking about like funding, that was a real hurdle. That was a real obstacle in finding, okay, so yeah, like the resources are out there. Here's how you fill out the application. But like, let's talk about the realities of it when you go to get that loan or when you try to get that funding.
Well, what I felt that night, and maybe this is common, you know, I know you've been doing this for some time, but I sensed an ambition level that was extremely high. People that had very, very early stage companies, some only kind of dreaming about having a company, but a lot of hope, and I felt an increase in hope after they went through their pitch. But I also sense this ambition level and this optimistic nature that was coming through. It shined through.
It's humbling to me to be around these. It's humbling and it's an honor because these women are like ride or die. They're going to be successful, and they are going to be successful like Miss Victoria that's behind there. I mean, they're going to be successful, and it's not about giving them the things to be successful, about giving them the opportunities and the tools to be successful, because these, you know, the women that we work with, they're given those tools and like, this is how you do it and this is how you approach it, they're going to be successful because they have that ambition. And they're some of the most ambitious. I mean, I've had to step up my game, to be honest, after seeing a lot of these women and how they navigate the information that they have. I'm like, I've been lazy. I've been lazy. And so, yes, it's a powerful thing to see. It's like a whole energy. Yeah, it's like it's intense energy.
People building businesses off of their phone.
Yes.
Right? It's like,
yes.
What?
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody was not trying to get a laptop because she needed
crazy.
Because she was but that's how it is. And here's the thing, you know, when American Express put out a report in I think 2018 looking at the growth of the national growth of women businesses nationally and over the past 10 years. So from 2007 to 2017. I hope that math is correct because that's not my strong point. And what it showed is that it showed overall with women businesses, there was an increase over time of more than 100%. Women of color businesses increased more than 400%. Wow. So there's a more than 400% increase in women of color businesses nationally. So what this means is that women of color are starting more businesses at four times the rate of just general women, you know, not of color businesses. So this is a huge economic component in
this
a community.
This is going to be great for Sacramento. It's great for any community. It's going to be great for these countries that you're helping around the world. But let's final question, I guess, as we think about the entrepreneurial women of Sacramento, the women of color, even more specifically, I mean, advice as you or words of wisdom to them as they want to, I guess, expand their dream, expand their horizon.
I would say now is the time. Like I woke up this morning. I sort of wax philosophical a lot, and people that know me, they have to put up with it. But I woke up this morning and I was like, this time in our country is amazing because this is the time for women and women of color to just charge at it. Just do it. You just got to do it. So my advice would be, just do it. Take a step. Just do it. Don't, you know, somebody told me when I was starting Willow Tree Roots, when I founded it almost 5 years ago, they said, stop trying to figure it all out. Just take steps. Just keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. And eventually you'll be somewhere that you want to be. Stop trying to like take, you know, swallow the entire apple. Just take steps. And so my advice would be, you know, one, don't listen to family that says, no, girl, you can't, you need to keep that job. How are you going to make money? Don't listen to that. Don't listen to partners that say, well, how are you going to do this and still take care of us? Don't listen to employers. I mean, but then this is the person that got fired from five jobs. So maybe you shouldn't listen to that.
But ditch the doubters. I mean, entrepreneurs need to keep that confidence rolling.
And the most important thing is don't listen to your negative self. You know, we have a tendency to be, particularly women of color, we are so service oriented. We will take care of whoever comes our way. It's just sort of a natural, and this is like across the board, you know, it doesn't matter if you're African-American, Latina, Asian, like there's this natural drive to take care of other people. And what that does is that means that sometimes we can't take care of ourselves. And we have this negative talk that like, no, don't do that because this. And I would say most importantly, don't listen to everybody else, but don't listen to that negative talk of yourself, because we are really literally our own biggest deterrent to actually doing things that we need to do to be successful a lot
well
of times.
Said. Yeah. Well said. Entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial women, women of color, now is the time. Sacramento is the place. Tiffany Sharp, thank you for joining
me
on the show.
Thank you so much.
You betcha. Oh,